John chapter 12, John chapter 12. Now in John chapter 12, verse number 20. Verse 20 we read, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired to see, 'Sir, we want to see Jesus.'" That's my theme today. We want to see Jesus. The title is "When We Want to See Jesus." Let me just give some background to have you. During the days of the New Testament, there were more Jewish people living outside of Israel. More Jewish people living outside of Israel, most scattered throughout the Roman Empire. Wherever there were 10 Jewish men, there could be a synagogue. I said, "A synagogue of building, not sin of God." One of my students in school time thought I said, "Sin of God, that God sins." No, no, no. It's a place to worship. A synagogue, if there were 10 Jewish people, there could be a synagogue. And Gentiles could come to hear the scripture read. Prayers offered. The same Gentiles would often go to a feast, like these Greeks did. They came from the country of Greece. Perhaps they'd been to some synagogue. They heard the scripture read. They came to worship at the Passover feast. Just days before this, Jesus has come into the city, presenting himself as a Messianic king. Then these Greeks came to the disciples. They found Philip. Named Philip is a Greek name, not a Jewish name. So they found him. Philip says, goes to Andrew, says they want to see Jesus. Both Philip and Andrew take these Greeks to see Jesus. "We want to see Jesus." That's the theme today. I propose to show you from the scripture how we can see Jesus today, not with the physical eyes, with our spiritual eyes. First, go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 39. We want to see Jesus. We learn from this verse that we can see Jesus in the scriptures. In the scriptures, we can see Jesus today with eyes of faith in the scriptures. Look at verse 39. John 5, 39. "Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. What is now they," the scriptures are "they which testify of me," Jesus said. Jesus said the whole Bible is about him. Wow, we can see Jesus in the scriptures. Two illustrations, find Luke 24. Two illustrations of that. Luke 24. How long do I have, Pastor, till midnight? Okay. Don't worry, don't go to sleep yet. Now, Luke 24, two illustrations of seeing Jesus in the scriptures. Luke 24 happens on the first Resurrection Sunday. It's afternoon on Resurrection Sunday, the first one. Two discouraged, depressed, defeated disciples are walking a road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. As they walk along, they're talking about the events in heaven. How they thought this Jesus would come, overthrow the Roman government, and set up his kingdom. But things didn't turn out that way. Jesus was arrested, crucified, and buried. They're hearing rumors that he's alive. As they're walking along, talking about these things, a stranger joins them. It's Jesus. They did not know that. This stranger says, "Why are you so discouraged? Why are you depressed?" They said, "Well, we thought this Jesus would set up a kingdom, but he was crucified, was buried. We're hearing that he rose from the dead." Then notice here, Luke 24, at verse 26, Jesus says to them, verse 25, "Then he said unto them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Verse 27, the beginning that Moses, that's the first five books of the Bible. All the prophets, all the rest of the Old Testament. So he took the whole Old Testament. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures, all the Old Testament, the things concerning himself. Well, what a wonderful that Bible study it must have been. a wonderful Sunday school class. Jesus takes the whole Old Testament, explains to them things about himself to them. I wish we had the CD of that. I wish we had the notes of that. Wouldn't that be great? Perhaps as he walked along, he talked to them, he told them all. He explained to them how that the lamb Abel offered was a picture of him being sacrificed. Perhaps he talked about Noah's Ark, a place of safety, explained to them that he is the Ark of safety from the wrath of God. Perhaps he talked to them about the Passover lamb, how the lamb pictured him as the Lamb of God. Perhaps he talked to them about the scapegoat that carried away the sins of the people, how he came to carry away the sins of the world. Perhaps he talked to them about the serpent and the pole that was lifted up. Anyone who puts their faith in Jesus, as they look to him, have eternal life and should not perish. Perhaps he talked to them about the rock, the water came from the rock, that he was the water of life. Perhaps he talked to them about the manna in the wilderness, that he was the very bread of life. Perhaps he explained Psalm 22 to them. Perhaps he explained Isaiah 53 to them. It was a wonderful Bible study. They invited the stranger to come to the home for supper. As they sat down at the table, as he broke the bread, wow, is Jesus? Then he just disappears. Those people were so excited. Their heart looked at what they said. In verse 32, they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us by the way while he opened to us the scriptures? He taught them things about himself. The point is this, that we can see Jesus in the scriptures. These two discouraged disciples run all the way back to Jerusalem. They find the apostles in upper room. Look what happens in the same chapter. Come down to verse 44. And he said unto them, he appears with the disciples in their upper room. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. All things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, first five books of the Old Testament, and in the prophets. The Jewish people divided the prophets in two sections, the books of history, books of prophecy. Then he said in the Psalms, he covered the whole Old Testament. He said the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me, Jesus saying, the whole Bible is about him, all about him. Look in this next verse. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. What wonderful Bible teaching. So the point is this, you and I can see Jesus today with eyes of faith in the scriptures. Now think with me, please. If that's true, we should find Jesus in every book of the Bible. Think with me now. In Genesis, he is the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's the scapegoat carrying away the sins. In Numbers, he is the serpent on the pole. And in Deuteronomy, he is the lawgiver. In Joshua, he is the captain of the host of the Lord. In Judges, he is the judge of all the earth. In Ruth, he is a kinsman redeemer. In the books of Samuel, he is the prophet, priest, and king. In the book of Kings, he is the king of kings. In the book of Chronicles, he is the historian. Then in the book of Ezra, he is the builder of the temple. In the book of Nehemiah, he is the builder of the wall. In Esther, he's a protector of the Jewish people. In Job, he's a comforter. In Psalms, he is the song of songs. In Proverbs, he is the wisdom of God. In this, I think the books of the Bible here. Next one is the Ecclesiastes. He is the preacher. In the book of the Song of Solomon, he is the lover. In Isaiah, he is the wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Then in Jeremiah, he is the weeping prophet. In Lamentations, he is the sorrowful savior. Then in Ezekiel, he is the builder of the new temple. Then in Daniel, he is the stone cutter without hands that crushes all the world empires. Then in the minor prophets, he is the coming Messiah and King. Then we get to the New Testament. In Matthew, he is the king. Mark, he is the servant. Luke, he is the son of man. John, he is the son of God. Acts, he is builder of the church. In Romans, he is the power of God unto salvation. The rest of the epistles, he is the head of the church. In Jude, he is the one who can keep you from falling. In Revelation, he is the Lamb upon the throne. Every book is something about Jesus. We can see Jesus in the scriptures at this point. Amen. Now, this, we got one more to go here. Two more to go. Maybe three or four. Because we got lots of time. Now, find Hebrews chapter 2. So we want to see Jesus. We can see him in the scriptures. Now, second, we can see him in suffering and death. We want to see Jesus. We learn we can see him in the scriptures. Now, second, we can see him in suffering and death. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 9. Notice the first words there give us our theme. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, that's his birth, and for the suffering of the death, that's his crucifixion, crowned with glory and honor, that's his resurrection and ascension to heaven, that by the grace of God he should taste death for all the elect. Is that what your Bible says? Oh, it says every man. Too bad for the Calvinists. It says he died for every man. Amen. So we can see Jesus in his suffering and death. That's the second one. We could see Jesus with our spiritual eyes in the scriptures. We can see Jesus in his suffering and death. Now, we want to see how that's true. Go back to Psalm 22. As we think about the suffering and death of Jesus, as we think about the suffering and death of Jesus, seeing Jesus in suffering and death, Psalm 22, the whole psalm is about the crucifixion. If you want to know what the crucifixion was like, you study Psalm 22, much better picture than in the Gospels. What's the psalm? Verse number 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? Just the very words that Jesus said on the cross, Son of God studied with his crucifixion. It seems like a hard thing to think that God could turn his back on Jesus on the cross. Reason, look at verse number 3, but thou art holy. God is so holy, he cannot look with approval upon sin. All of our sin was placed on Jesus on the cross. So in a sense, God turned his back on the Son of the cross, because your sin, my sin was there on him. Now so for some things about the crucifixion, come down to verse 7. All they that see me laugh me to scorn, they shoot up the lip, they shake their head, saying, he trusted on the Lord, that he will deliver him, in him, let him deliver him, seeing he delights in him. Just what people said when they stood about the foot of the cross. They said those things to mock Jesus. Now look over to verse number 14, for verses 14 through 17, a graphic picture of the crucifixion, what it meant to be crucified. Verse number 14, I'm poured out like water. Remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? He sweat as well, great drops of blood. In the hot Middle Eastern sun on the cross, perspiration, I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. The crucifixion will pull every bone in his body out of joint. Painful. Then he says, my tongue cleans my jaws. He cried out, maybe said, I'm thirsty. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me about, compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. Those mockers at the foot of the cross were like wild, vicious animals ready to pounce. That was the last part of verse 16. They pierced my hands and feet. That's what happened at the cross. Verse 17, I will tell all my bones. And the person being crucified, you can see every bone in his body, bones pulled out his joint. It was awful what happened that day. Then we read in verse 18, their permanent garments among them, they cast lots. Remember the soldiers did that. They took Jesus' clothes, gambled for them. Now I'm saying to you this afternoon, the second way we can see Jesus with eyes of faith, we can see him in his suffering and death. Now, if we should go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, put it all together, let me try to put it together for you for a few minutes here. We pick up in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is praying. He's praying, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. As he prays that, we see Judas coming with a great crowd of people to betray. Judas came to betray Jesus. He walks up to Jesus, says, Master, kisses him. Then the soldiers grab him, bind his hands behind his back, lead him away to the Sanhedrin Council, the Jewish Supreme Court, for a trial, an illegal trial, because it was held at night. They broke the law, so they take Jesus there. When he was on trial there, they accuse him. They bring in false witnesses to lie about him. They tell stories that were not true about him as he is there. Some of those members of the Sanhedrin Council slap him across the face. Some take a blindfold and put it around him. They hit him in the face with a fist. Prophesy, tell us who hates you. They pull the beard from his face. Oh, his face was swollen and bruised. After a while, they decide this is enough. He says he's God. He must die for that. So they take him to Pilate. Get Pilate up early in the morning. They say, this man is trying to teach us to overthrow the government. So Pilate takes him in. Pilate asks him questions. Jesus says nothing. As Isaiah said, as a lamb before its shearers is dumb, silent, he says nothing. After a while, Pilate brings him up, says, behold the man. People said, he's worthy of death, crucify him. Then Pilate realizes that Herod's in town, in Jerusalem, that Jesus came from Galilee. So Pilate sends Jesus to Herod. Herod is glad to see him. He hopes Jesus will do some miracle for him. But Herod already crossed the deadline when he killed John the Baptist. God is silent, not speaking to Herod at all. So Jesus doesn't say the same thing. After a while, Herod and his soldiers mock Jesus by calling him a king, bow down to worship him. Then they send Jesus back to Pilate. Pilate receives it back. Pilate says he's not guilty. Then Pilate's trying to find out something that he might crucify him for. So Pilate turns Jesus over to his soldiers to scourge him. The scourging was awful. They will tie the person in such a way his back was bent, to take a whip, and the end of the whip would be 9 strands of leather. At the end of each piece of leather, be a piece of bone, piece of steel, metal. They will bring that whip down his back. As bone and metal crosses his back, it would tear the flesh off in ribs. Sometimes you could see the bones of the person. Sometimes you could see the very internal organs. So they whip Jesus, tear the flesh from his back. Then they put a robe on him. Then they take a crown of thorns, put it on his brow, take a stick, beat it down so the blood's streaming down his face. His back's torn, put a robe of purple on him, bow down, mock him, call him the king. Then Pilate takes him, brings him out to the people, says, behold your king. They said, we have no king but Jesus. We have no king but Caesar. We don't want this man. Crucify him, crucify him. They stir up the people to say, crucify, crucify him, crucify him. Then Pilate turns him over to the soldiers to be crucified. The soldiers lead Jesus through the streets of the city, carrying his cross. The song says, he stumbled beneath the Lord, so he had someone else carry the cross for Jesus. They get to Golgotha, where they crucify him, laid down the cross, stretch Jesus out, put nails through his hands, cross his legs, put a nail through his feet, he's nailed to the cross. They slowly lift the cross upward. As it falls into the socket, every bone is pulled out of place, the flesh is torn. We are read from Psalm 22 how he felt on the cross. People above the cross are mocking him, making fun of him. Come on down off the cross, we believe you. If you're the Son of God, God should deliver you. He saved all the others. He could not save himself. They mocked him. As they were mocking him, Jesus looked down, saw them, the mockers, saw the soldiers, said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He looked down, saw his mother and John the apostle. He says to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." He looks at John, says, "Behold your mother." Then as he's hanging there, two thieves are crucified with him. Those thieves are mocking him, making fun of him. Then one thief says, "Wait a minute, we are guilty. We deserve to die, but not him. He's done nothing amiss." Then that thief says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Listen to me, Jesus never went to hell when he died. He went to paradise. That's what he said. That's the third heaven. Then hanging there, after that happened, Jesus said, "I thirst." So one soldier takes a sponge, puts some vinegar on it, puts it up to his mouth. Jesus refuses it. Then the sun went out. It's dark everywhere, over the whole land. What Jesus is saying there, that darkness was pierced with his voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" After 3 hours of darkness, we hear Jesus speak again, "It is finished. All the work to save us is done." That's why we didn't have to work at all, because Jesus did all the work on the cross. So the work for salvation was done, finished. The song says, "Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed the white as snow." Then next thing, Jesus looks heavenward, says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Bows his head, he's dead. He died. We can see Jesus in the suffering and death. At that point, a soldier takes a spear, throws it into the side of Jesus. Blood and water comes out. Then another soldier says, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Then the soldiers take a mallet, a sledge hammer, to break the legs of the criminals who have been crucified. They break the legs of the two thieves. When they get to Jesus, he's already dead, so don't break he breaks his bones. Now the prophecy fulfills. Now that his bones have been broken, the prophecy said, Jesus' body is taken down gently, buried. Christ died for our sins, was buried. Third day he rose again. His resurrection was like God's stamp of approval. This is good enough to pay for your sin, my sin. We see Jesus in his suffering and death. Now one more, find 1 John 3. We want to see Jesus. We saw him in the scriptures. We can see him in suffering to death. Now in 1 John chapter 3, we will see him when he comes the second time. I said we can see Jesus with eyes of faith in the scripture. We can see Jesus in his suffering and death. We will see Jesus in the second coming. Look in 1 John 3, verse number 2. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Listen, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became a child of God right now. May 26th at 2:05, you are a child of God. "Now are we the sons of God," was the rest of it. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when he shall appear, his second coming, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Wow, when he comes again, we will see him with physical eyes. We can see him with spiritual eyes in the scripture. We can see him with spiritual eyes in the suffering and death. Someday, when he comes again, we will see him. Now, I could quote the verses. I want you to see them today, so don't go to sleep. Find 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I could quote the verses. It's better if you see them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses talk about Jesus coming. Two simple passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Remember, we will see Jesus when he comes again. 1 Corinthians 15:51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed." I can ask the students from my doctoral class in mysteries, what, Jordan? Something unknown Old Testament, revealed in the New Testament, right? Did they get it right? That's what Rocher wrote, that's what right on the test paper, right? So mystery is something not known in the Old Testament, something revealed in the New Testament. Some of my students are here to check up on me. We are all sure your mystery. We should not all sleep. Now all believers will die. Some of us may still be alive. I say some of us. I expect to be living when Jesus comes. I'm looking for the undertaker, not the undertaker. Aren't you? We should not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, so quick, you won't have time to get ready. At the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. One more passage explains this. Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses number 15, 16, and 17. Remember, we will see Jesus when he comes again. That's the second coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, God's word, not man's word, that we wish our lives, see some people are going to be alive when Jesus comes, that we wish our lives remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, those believers who have died, they will be raised, the soul and spirit united with their body. They shall rise first. Then we, which are alive, remain should be caught up. What's caught up together means the rapture. The Greek words mean the rapture. Caught up together with them and close to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall you ever be with the Lord. Well, we will see Jesus when he comes again. Remember singing the song, Face to Face with Christ my Savior? Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him? Jesus, the one who died for me. We sometimes have sung, I shall know him, I shall know him. When redeemed by his side, I shall stand, I shall know him. So we will see Jesus when he comes again the second time. How about the song, I want to see my Savior first of all. Blessed are the people I want to see. Well, I think some of our church members who have gone ahead of us, we want to see them again. We want to see Jesus first of all. Now, those are the facts. There's some instructions for us today based on these scriptures. Interesting thing, Pastor, every one of these passages gives us instructions. Let's find them. John chapter 5. Verse 39, John chapter 5, verse 39, tells us what application should be. The fact that we can see Jesus in the scriptures. Verse 39, first word says, search. Search the scriptures. That's what we should be doing. Since we can find Jesus throughout the Bible, we should be searching the scriptures. Should be like those believers in Acts 17 who search the scriptures daily, see whether the things were so. The Bible says, study the scripture, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we are to search the scriptures, since we can see Jesus with eyes of faith in the scripture, where to search the scripture. You may not find Jesus in every paragraph, every chapter, but something about him is there somewhere. You ask the Holy Spirit to guide you as you read the scripture. Keep your eyes open, searching, looking. The Holy Spirit will guide you to those pictures and types of Christ in the Bible. Now go over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 for instruction. First instruction was search the scriptures. Now Hebrews chapter 2, where we're told we can see Jesus in his suffering and death. Look at the verse number 1. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to those things which we have heard, lest in any time we should let them slip. Listen, we are to give earnest heed to what we hear, which means we are to put into action. the things we hear pastor preach to us, things we hear on Sunday school classes, what we are to do them. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If all you do is just hear, don't put it into action, don't apply it, you're deceiving yourself. He said, we're like people who just let things slide by. Don't let things slip by you. Don't drift along in your Christian life. It's fun to be in a canoe, drifting along with the stream of the river. That's dangerous. Don't drift along in your Christian life. Be serious about Christian living. Be a doer of the word. And one more, go to 1 John 3. One more word of instruction. Since we can see Jesus in the scriptures, we are to search the scriptures. Since we can see him is suffering and death, we are to take heed to what we hear and learn. Now here in 1 John, since we will see Jesus when he comes again, there's an application. Verse number 3, every man that has that hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Since we will see Jesus when he comes again, we are to purify ourselves, which means we are keep our sins confessed up to date. Don't be doing something you would be ashamed of when Jesus comes. Don't be reading something, be somewhere you would be ashamed of when Jesus comes. Look up chapter 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence before him, not be ashamed at his coming. You don't want to be ashamed when Jesus comes. Just be living right, doing right. Amen. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let's cleanse ourselves from all filthiness, that's of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness and fear of God. Now find 1 Peter chapter 1. With this would be the last verse we look at today. We can see Jesus with eyes of faith in scriptures. We must search the scriptures. We can see Jesus with eyes of faith in suffering and death. We are to give heed to those things, do them. Then we will see Jesus when he comes again. We are to be prepared for his coming. Now here, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Whom have not seen, we have not seen Jesus with our physical eyes, like those already the apostles did. Whom have you not seen, ye love. In whom now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable. Three things we are to do, though we don't see Jesus with our eyes. We are to love him, believe him, rejoice in him. That's in the instructions today. Since we can't see Jesus with our physical eyes, we are to love him, believe him, and rejoice in him. Let's stand together, please.